This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Bugs bug most of us, but Michelle Troutwine sees beauty in insect species. The former art major made the switch to biology long ago and hasn't looked back. Now she'd like to snoop around your backyard and the corners of your kitchen to learn more about millipedes, spiders, and tiny insect species that the human eye can't see. Michelle is the lead researcher on a new project called Arthropods of Our Homes, and it is part of the Your Wildlife program at North Carolina State University. Michelle Troutwine is an assistant director of biodiversity at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. She's also an entomologist and evolutionary biologist with North Carolina State University and my guest on the State of Things right now. Michelle, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us more about this project.
All right. Well, we're basically interested in exploring the diversity of arthropod species that live in our homes. So we know a lot about some of the insect species that live with us. For example, you know, roaches or termites. There's been a lot of research done on these kind of problematic species. But we don't know a lot about the many, many other species that live with us.
Wait, so there are more? That to me is plenty.
So many more, right?
And what, so yeah. Arthropods are what now?
So arthropods are any kind of many-leggedy, segmenty creatures with an exoskeleton. So again, insects and their relatives like spiders, centipedes, millipedes, ticks, mites, those kinds of things.
And they mostly crunch when you step on them.
They definitely crunch, yes.
Yep. So what is it? So what is it that we didn't know? I mean, how do you know what you don't know?
Well, there hasn't really been a systematic survey of what species are living with us. Again, so we know a lot about the pests, the things that either gross us out or bite us or end up costing us a lot of money. But we don't know about just the diversity of species that are living with us. So we are sampling about 100 local homes for complete diversity. So I have an entomologist and postdoc that works with me named Matt Bertone, and he goes out to a house every day and spends several hours collecting everything living or dead. And,
are these just cold hits? He knocks on the door, says, can I?
No, okay, actually, there's been a lot of enthusiasm about the project. So when it first started, we had about 20 volunteers that we kind of coerced to let us into their houses. Mm-hmm. But now that we've gotten a little bit of press, we've got about 400 volunteers.
Wow.
People who really want us to. Some people even ask us, hey, how much do you charge for this?
So what does he do? Now he knocks it. You've got the volunteer. They've welcomed you into the house. Now what do you do?
He goes in. He goes along every corner, the baseboards, up in the ceiling, light fixtures. A little bit of time in your attic and basement, and just collects anything, living or dead, that has been in your house. And the great part about it is that we're finding so many species. There's just so much diversity in our houses. So every day he comes back to the lab with a bag full of vials. It's like, you know, it's like Christmas.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, so what are you finding? Are there any big surprises? Are there any species that you just wouldn't expect to find in this part of the world?
Well, we're definitely finding surprises. Let me think of some of the cool stories. So Matt Bertone, again, is a great entomologist and knows a ton about insects. And one of the things he's been most excited about is this spitting spider.
Uh-huh.
So a spitting spider is kind of a common-looking spider. But before this project, he had only seen one before. But now he's finding it in many, many houses. And the cool thing about this spider, it looks typical, but it actually spits. So it spits venom. A couple centimeters, actually, to paralyze its prey. And so it's just this fascinating creature that you may not know about, but it's you're probably having breakfast and it's crawling behind your, you know, your light fixtures. So.
And apparently this is no real danger to me. This is not why after sitting 20 minutes, I can't quite get up as fast as I used to.
No. So most of these creatures that we're finding in your homes are friendly. I'm all about peaceful cohabitation. In fact, a lot of them probably eat some of your pests. So I think that they're all good roommates for you to have.
That's the interesting possibility about this for me, and I want you to tell me more, is that things we thought were pests are perhaps pretty useful to us, and we didn't know they were living with us, and we don't know quite what they're doing for us, but we might find that we have a pretty good relationship with these.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing that more than just understanding who's living in our house, it's we want to understand more about why they're living there and more just about this complex ecosystem and food web that's happening right under our noses. So who's eating who, and So, for example, we're finding a lot of parasitic wasps, tiny little wasps. And when I say parasitic, what I mean is that these wasps will lay their eggs into the bodies of other insects.
That's so cool.
It is like an alien movie. Their eggs will hatch and the larvae will actually eat out the body of this other insect before an adult wasp emerges. Now, that sounds horrific, but actually that's probably happening to a lot of pest species that are living in your house. So when you see these little parasitic wasps, which you might not because they're tiny, but you know, you should shake their hands. They're doing us all a favor. And it's also incredible to think about these epic battles that are happening in our homes while we're sitting on the couch, you know, watching the Olympics. So
what are the possibilities for that kind of pest management? Rather than spraying a house with poison, could we just import a bunch of these little wasps and let them go?
I think that we have for various agricultural reasons. That's a biocontrol. It's a big field to study at NC State in the entomology department. And that's not something I would advise for your house necessarily, but it definitely is a field of research.
So now you are an expert in flies.
I am. Mm-hmm.
So tell us some of the misconceptions. What is it that, because I'm not happy to see a fly in my house, kind of ever. I don't know why they're so annoying, but they are.
Well, the cool thing about flies, and actually one of the things that got me into this project, is that when I was thinking about homes and insects that whose lives kind of intersect with our own, there are actually more fly species in your house right now than probably any other group of animals. So the natural the history of flies and fly evolution is just really intertwined with our own. And I think that's incredibly fascinating. And this is an ancient history that we share. So
is it a little like rats? In other words, we kind of our garbage and their life cycle kind of
intertwined with our own. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. So really common things like the house fly or Drosophila, the little tiny fruit flies that buzz around your bananas or your wine glass. These flies have ancient African origins and have basically, as we dispersed around the world, these flies have closely followed us. So
have they changed much?
They have. And that's one of the things that we would like to understand more about also. This process of evolution is still happening now in our homes, and so that's one of the exciting stories that we want to uncover.
That's great. How many species of fly did you say was in my house?
I bet there'd be about 10.
Really?
Maybe
I guess fruit flies I've seen, house flies. Mm-hmm. What else is there?
So mosquitoes are flies, if you didn't know. A lot of people don't realize mosquitoes are flies. There's big kind of leggedy crane flies, look like giant mosquitoes that hang around your porch lights at night. Mm-hmm. There are these little tiny moth flies you might find in your bathroom sink. You might not even recognize them as flies. All kinds of tiny little gnats and other unrecognizables that are all over the place.
Now, you know our big fear about house flies is kind of like, it's not, you don't know where they've been. You know where they've been. And now you really don't want to see them land on your donut.
I kill house flies in my house too. I'm one of you guys.
I'm good. We're good with it. So now getting back to the big project, collecting all these various species, you have volunteers who allow you into their homes. Is there a way that you can get kind of citizen scientists to run out and do some of the collecting for you?
Well, actually, there is. So one of the other interesting stories we've been uncovering is that of camel crickets. So if you don't know about camel crickets...
I don't.
Okay. Camel crickets, if you go into your basement or your crawl space, they're going to be these big, leggedy, alien-looking things that may fly at you out of the dark.
And they kind of go sideways a little bit.
They do.
They're
and they're
weird. Okay.
And they're harmless. They look crazy, but they're harmless. But we, again, it's a group of insects we don't know a lot about. And one of the things we've been finding is that... we haven't been seeing the native camel cricket species, only this one introduced Japanese species. And that's been known in our country for a long time, but only in greenhouses. But now it appears that this alien is living in all of our basements and crawl spaces. It's completely taken over. We found one native camel cricket so far. So one of the ways that citizen scientists could be involved is go to our website at yourwildlife.org and learn more about the project. You can send in pictures of your camel crickets, send in actual specimens of your camel crickets, and we'd like to track down this native species and find out how long ago it's been displaced. And also things like, you know, are the camel crickets in your basement the same as the camel crickets in my basement? Do they climb out at night and you know, switch sides? We just don't really understand their population dynamics at all.
You're going to make like little collars? Put them on there? That'd be cool, just to have the collar. So tell us more about the project itself. The Your Wildlife Project at NC State, and what also what's going on at the museum and how these things all connect.
Okay. So the Your Wildlife Project is run by Rob Dunn, a biologist at NC State, and one of the things he's doing is sampling houses for microbe diversity. So that's another big area of unexplored discovery and biodiversity. So he's sampling, I think, maybe 1,000 houses for microbes, you know, swabbing the kitchen counter and
what
things
kind
like
of microbes,
that.
Like?
What
kind of microbes?
Well, I haven't seen the results, but I think all kinds of things. I think there's going to be a lot of exciting findings to come out of that. Like, so, for example, he was talking yesterday about extremophiles, things that are only found in, you know, hot springs and stuff. They're going to be exploring houses for those types of microbes. But anyways, that part of the project, in collaboration with us, will really give us a more complete picture of the life in our homes. In terms of the museum, so this work is being done out of the Nature Research Center, which is part of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences downtown. And we're really working to try to engage the public in the process of science and get young people and old people excited about discovery.
Sounds great. You started out as an art major. So what got you to make the switch to arthropods?
I was an art major. And when I was young, I went to school with a lot of people who were really great and smart and took the hard science classes. And I just didn't see myself fitting into that category. But as I got older, I discovered the incredible world of bugs. I ended up spending a summer in the rainforest. And spending all that time with scientists made me realize that that science wasn't necessarily about, you know, making straight A's in your chemistry class, but instead being able to answer really interesting questions, ask and answer interesting questions about the world all around us. So I think that's what brought me over to the other side.
Thank you for your answers, Michelle. What a pleasure. Michelle Troutwine, entomologist and evolutionary biologist at NC State, also assistant director of the Biodiversity Lab at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. For more information on the Your Wildlife program, you can sign up at yourwildlife.org. Just ahead, historian Heather Williams on efforts of enslaved people to be reunited with their relatives. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.